Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
When you work the night shift at a convenience store, you expect things to be pretty ordinary. Maybe a handful of customers, someone trying to buy beer after hours, and sometimes a rowdy group coming back from the strip. That's what I had in mind when I clocked in for my shift at the little corner store in Las Vegas. While most people were winding down for the night, my shift was just beginning. I liked the quiet, honestly. There's a rhythm to the night shift. Stock the shelves, sweep the floor, and wait for the rare customer. I always kept the radio on low for company, a familiar sound that kept the silence from feeling too overwhelming. Around 1 a.m., I was at the counter, flipping through a magazine, when I noticed them. Two men standing under the streetlight just outside the store, their shadows stretching long across the pavement. They weren't doing anything at first, just standing there, talking quietly. I told myself it was nothing. People hang around all the time, waiting for rides or just killing time. But something about the way they kept looking toward the store set off a small alarm in my mind. After a few minutes, one of them pointed in my direction. I quickly looked away, pretending to be engrossed in the magazine, but my pulse was picking up. When I looked back, they were gone. Or so I thought. Not 2 minutes later, the bell above the door jingled and the two men walked in. They moved slowly, their eyes scanning the store like they were casing the place. One was tall and wiry, with a baseball cap pulled low over his face. The other was shorter, stocky, and wearing a hoodie that obscured most of his features. "Evening," I said, trying to sound friendly. They didn't respond. Instead, they split up, each wandering down different aisles. The tall one pretended to browse the snacks while the shorter one headed toward the drinks cooler. I stayed behind the counter watching them carefully. Something about their movements felt calculated, like they weren't here to shop. The shorter guy was the first to approach the counter. He slapped a can of soda down and leaned in close. "Slow night, huh?" he said. "Yeah," I replied, ringing up the soda. "Pretty quiet." "You here by yourself?" he asked, his eyes darting around the store. The question rattled me, catching me off guard. "My co-worker's in the back," I lied, gesturing toward the stockroom door. He raised an eyebrow but didn't press the issue. Instead, he looked over his shoulder at his friend, who was now lingering near the exit. "Mind if I use your restroom?" he asked. "Sorry, it's employees only." He didn't like that. His expression tightened, and for a moment, I thought he was going to argue. But then he just smirked and stepped back, joining his friend near the door. As I watched them whisper to each other, my unease grew. Something wasn't right. I reached under the counter and pressed the button for the silent alarm, a precaution we were trained to use if anything felt off. The taller guy suddenly walked back toward me, his hands in his pockets. "Hey, do you sell phone chargers?" he asked. "They're by the register," I said, gesturing to a small display. As he leaned over to look, I noticed his other hand slipping out of his pocket and holding a padlock. Before I could react, he walked over to the door and passed a small chain through the doorknobs and locked the padlock with a loud click. "What are you doing?" I demanded. "Relax," he said, grinning. "We just want to talk." My heart was racing now. They had locked me in. The shorter guy moved closer to the counter, blocking my path to the stockroom. "Look," I said, If you're not buying anything, you need to leave. We're not leaving, the taller one said, his grin widening. Not until we're done. I didn't wait to find out what done meant. While they were distracted, I reached under the counter and grabbed the panic button, activating the alarm that would send a direct signal to the police. The sound was deafening, vibrating through the walls. Both men froze. What the hell? The shorter guy yelled. I didn't give them a chance to react. I grabbed the pepper spray from under the counter and aimed it at the taller one. Unlock the door, I demanded. He paused for a moment, but when I stepped closer, the spray raised, he quickly grabbed the key and unlocked it. I bolted, sprinting out into the parking lot as fast as I could. Behind me, I heard glass shattering. Fueled by frustration, they began smashing the windows, glass flying everywhere. I didn't stop running until I reached the gas station down the street, where I frantically explained what had happened. The clerk called the police, and within minutes, patrol cars were speeding toward the convenience store. When the officers arrived, the men were gone. But they left plenty of evidence behind: the shattered glass, the bolt cutters they had dropped, and even the small chain, the padlock, and the key they'd used to lock the door. The police took my statement and assured me they would do everything they could to find the men. Still, that nagging fear wouldn't leave me. I quit the job not long after. No amount of money was worth feeling that vulnerable. I'm grateful for the training that helped me stay calm and think on my feet, but the experience taught me a harsh lesson. You can't always predict danger, even in the most mundane settings.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Working as a nurse was demanding, but I loved my job. Helping people, even in the most stressful situations, made every long shift worth it. By the end of each day, though, I was usually running on empty. That night in July started like any other, with me leaving the hospital late, exhausted but glad the shift was over. What happened after is something I'll never forget. I clocked out just after midnight, threw my bag over my shoulder, and headed to the parking lot. The hospital was eerily quiet at that hour. Most of the lights dimmed, the halls empty except for a few night shift workers. The parking lot wasn't much better. It was dimly lit, with just a few scattered lamps creating long, distorted shadows. My car was parked near the far edge of the lot, a spot I regretted choosing every time I worked a late shift. As I stepped outside, the warm, sticky air hit me like a wall. The Florida summers had a way of clinging to you. I walked briskly, the rhythmic clink of my keys in my hand breaking the silence. About halfway to my car, I noticed him. At first, he seemed unremarkable, a man in his mid-30s, wearing a baseball cap and a loose hoodie, standing near one of the lampposts. He was pacing back and forth, and something about his movements felt off. They were too erratic, like he was working himself up for something. I kept walking, quickening my pace as my instincts kicked in. I looked around the lot, hoping to see someone else, anyone, but it was just me and him. He noticed me. I could feel his eyes on me, tracking my every step. When I reached my car, I tried to unlock the door as quickly as possible. "Excuse me," he called, his voice loud in the silence. I froze, my hand hovering over the door handle. "Hey, can you help me out?" he said, stepping closer. "I'm trying to find Main Street. Do you know where it is?" He seemed friendly, but there was something forced about the way he spoke. I turned slightly, keeping my distance. "Sorry, I'm not sure." "That's okay," he said, taking another step toward me. "Maybe you could check on your phone?" I shook my head. "I'm sorry, I can't help you." He moved closer, his body language shifting. His friendliness was gone, replaced by something more predatory. "Come on," he said, his voice hardening. "It'll only take a second." I took a step back, my heart racing. "I said no," I repeated, louder this time. He stopped, staring into my eyes with an uncomfortable intensity. "Why are you being like this?" he asked, his tone almost mocking. That's when I noticed his hand slipping into his hoodie pocket. I didn't wait to see what he was reaching for. I tightened my grip on my keys, holding them between my fingers like a makeshift weapon, and sidestepped toward the back of my car. "I don't want any trouble," I said, keeping my voice as calm as possible. "You don't have to make this hard," he said, stepping forward again. I looked around the lot, desperately looking for an escape route. My car was my best option, but he was too close. Then I remembered the panic button on my car key fob. Without thinking, I hit it, and my car's alarm blared loudly, echoing through the empty parking lot. The man flinched, startled by the sudden noise. I took the opportunity to dart around the car and open the driver's side door. As I slid inside, he lunged toward me, his hand slamming against the window. "Turn that off!" I didn't hesitate. I started the engine, shifted into gear, and floored it. For a terrifying moment, I thought he was going to follow me on foot. He stood there, looking at me as I sped out of the lot. As I turned onto the main road, I looked in the rearview mirror. He was gone. But my hands were shaking, and my mind was a whirlwind of what could have happened if I hadn't acted quickly. I pulled into a gas station a few miles away and called the police. The dispatcher asked me to describe the man and what had happened. "We'll send an officer to the hospital parking lot to check it out," she said. "Are you safe now?" "Yes," I said, though I wasn't sure I believed it. The police never found him. They said it was likely a random predator looking for an opportunity, but that didn't make me feel any better. The idea that he was still out there haunted me for weeks. Walking to my car became a tense routine, my eyes scanning the darkness, clutching my keys as if for protection. That night changed me. I used to think I was careful, aware of my surroundings, but now I know just how quickly things can go wrong. If there's one thing I've learned, it's if something doesn't feel right, don't hesitate to act. It might just save your life. I've been a night security guard for nearly a decade, and I like to think I'm good at my job. Most nights are uneventful, a few rounds around the property, paperwork, and maybe catching a stray raccoon nosing around the trash. I've always felt confident in my ability to handle whatever came my way. But one night last month, that confidence was shaken in a way I'll never forget. The construction site I was assigned to was massive. A vast area littered with steel beams, heavy machinery, and half-finished buildings. It was a cold night for Jacksonville, the kind that made my breath fog up as I walked my rounds. The site was quiet, as usual. My flashlight illuminated the darkness as I made my way through the equipment yard, checking that everything was in place. I like to keep a steady pace, moving from one checkpoint to the next. I was halfway through my shift when I noticed something strange. A section of the chain-link fence near the back of the yard was slightly bent, as if someone had tried to pull it open. I walked over to inspect it. The damage wasn't extensive, but it was recent. I would have noticed it during my earlier rounds. A chill crept up the back of my neck, but I brushed it off. Probably just some kids messing around, I told myself. Still, I made a note to report it to my supervisor and continued my patrol. About an hour later, I was walking past the equipment yard again when I saw it. A figure, barely illuminated by the glow of my flashlight, standing near one of the excavators. "Hey," I called out, my voice firm. "This is private property. You're not supposed to be here." The figure didn't move. I took a step closer, shining the flashlight directly at him, but as soon as the beam hit, he darted behind the excavator, disappearing into the shadows. "Stop right there," I shouted, my heart pounding as I jogged toward the spot. When I rounded the corner, there was no one there. But on the ground, near the base of the machine, I found something that made my stomach flip. A pair of bolt cutters and a knife. The bolt cutters were standard enough, but the knife was menacing. Its blade gleamed under the flashlight, and it didn't look like something you'd use for casual work. I radioed the incident to my supervisor, who told me to keep an eye out and call the police if the trespasser returned. So I secured the tools in the equipment shed before continuing my rounds. The rest of the night went on without incident, yet the eerie sense of being watched wouldn't go away. After all, I hadn't seen the man leave the construction site. Every creak of metal made me whip around, expecting to see someone standing there. The next night, I returned to the site, more alert than usual. As I walked past the same spot where I'd seen the figure, I scanned the shadows, my flashlight lingering on every corner. That's when I noticed something new. Footprints in the dirt, leading away from the fence and toward the unfinished building at the edge of the site. I followed them cautiously, my hand resting on the pepper spray clipped to my belt. The prints were heading towards the building's entrance, but I found no one. It was around 3 a.m. when I saw the figure again. This time, they were standing near the site's main office trailer. I didn't hesitate. Gripping my flashlight tightly, I approached the trailer, calling out, "I see you! Step out!" No response. When I reached the trailer, I pushed the door open, only to find it empty. The air inside was stale, and the faint smell of cigarettes was unmistakable. Someone had been there recently. I stepped outside, scanning the area for any sign of movement. The trespasser was nowhere to be seen. Over the next few nights, things only got worse. Tools started going missing, and I found more signs of someone sneaking onto the property. Discarded food wrappers, cigarette butts, even a makeshift bedroll hidden behind a stack of wooden pallets. But the most unsettling part was the feeling that I was being watched. Every time I walked past the equipment yard, I felt eyes on me. It was as if the trespasser wasn't just trying to steal. They were observing me, studying my routine. On the fifth night, I decided to set a trap. I placed a motion sensor near the equipment yard and positioned myself in a spot where I could watch without being seen. It was past midnight when the sensor went off. Its sharp beep echoed through the silence. I grabbed my flashlight and moved quickly but quietly toward the yard. There he was, the same figure, crouched near one of the excavators. This time I didn't call out. I crept closer, my flashlight off, until I was just a few feet away. "Gotcha," I said, switching on the light. The figure spun around, his face hidden under the shadow of a hoodie. For a moment, we stared at each other, and I saw something in their eyes that made my blood run cold. Pure malice. Before I could react, he bolted, disappearing into the darkness. I called the police immediately, and they arrived within minutes. We searched the area, but found no sign of the trespasser. The only thing he left behind was a small, rusted key, which the officers bagged as evidence. My supervisor increased security measures after that, installing cameras and hiring an additional guard for the night shift. I still work as a security guard, and some nights, when I'm alone in my current post, I catch myself scanning the shadows. One thing's for sure, I'll never underestimate the dangers of the night shift again. Living and working as a farmhand in Des Moines is about as straightforward as life can be. It's hard work, but there's something calming about the routine. the early mornings and the quiet nights under a blanket of stars. I've been working on the same farm for 3 years now, and I've come to know its rhythms like the back of my hand. At least, that's what I thought before September of last year. What happened that day made me question everything I thought I knew about this place. The sun had just set, and the air carried the unmistakable aroma of recently harvested corn. My boss had asked me to stay late to check on the irrigation system in the far field. The walk wasn't far, but under the cover of darkness, the cornfield took on a different character. The tall stalks swayed with the breeze, their rustling leaves creating an eerie backdrop to the otherwise still night. As I walked along the dirt path with my flashlight, something caught my eye. A shadow, just on the edge of my beam, moved between the rows of corn. At first, I thought it was just a horse that got loose from the stall and ended up in the middle of the cornfield. But it didn't move like a horse. It moved too upright. I stopped, shining my flashlight around to take a better look. "Probably nothing, just the light acting weird," I said, more to calm myself than anything else. But as I turned to keep walking, I heard it, a faint sound, like someone, or something, was keeping pace with me. The noise followed me all the way to the irrigation pump. I tried to ignore it, chalking it up to animals or the wind, but the unease was growing. After finishing my check, I decided to take a closer look. I stepped off the path and into the field, the flashlight throwing eerie shadows around me as I pushed through the stalks. The sound of my boots crunching on the dry soil mixed with the rustling leaves, and for a moment, I felt like I was being swallowed by the field. "Hello?" I called out, my voice sounding smaller than I'd expected. "Is someone there?" No answer. Just the wind and the steady rustle of the corn. I kept moving deeper into the field, my flashlight sweeping the rows. Then I saw it, something tall and dark, darting between the stalks, just out of reach of the light. My breath hitched, and I stopped. Whatever it wasn't an animal. It was too tall, too human. I backed out of the field, my flashlight shaking in my hand. By the time I got back to the main path, the rustling had stopped. The field was silent again, but it was a weird, heavy silence. I didn't stick around to find out more. I made my way back to the barn as quickly as I could, locking up for the night and heading home. The next night, I convinced myself it had been nothing. A long day and my wild imagination. That's all. But when my boss asked me to check the far field again, I found myself hesitating. "Everything okay?" he asked, noticing my hesitation. "Yeah, just tired." Armed with my flashlight and a little more resolve, I set out again. The night was eerily similar to the one before. The same swaying stalks, the same oppressive quiet. But this time, I wasn't alone for long. As I walked along the path, I felt it again, that nagging sensation of being watched. I stopped and turned, sweeping the flashlight across the field. That's when I saw it, the same shadowy figure standing motionless about 20 feet away, just beyond the first row of corn. "Hey," I called, trying to sound braver than I felt. "You're trespassing. This is private property." The figure didn't move. I took a step closer, the flashlight trained on the spot where it stood. But as soon as the beam touched it, the figure disappeared, melting into the shadows like it had never been there. The sightings continued over the next few nights, each one more unsettling than the last. The figure always appeared in the same general area, never making a sound, never coming closer. It felt like a game, one I wasn't sure I wanted to play. By the fourth night, I'd had enough. I decided to investigate during the day, thinking maybe I'd find tracks or some other explanation for what I'd been seeing. The field was quiet in the daylight, the corn standing tall and unassuming. But as I walked to the area where I'd seen the figure, I noticed something strange. The stalks in that section were flattened, as if someone or something had been standing there for a long time. I crouched down to inspect the ground and found footprints. They were human, but larger than any I'd ever seen. The prints led deeper into the field, disappearing into the rows of corn. That night, when my boss called, asking me to stay late again, I couldn't say no. As I walked to the field, I clutched my flashlight tightly, my eyes scanning every shadow. When the figure appeared this time, it was closer, too close. It stood just 10 feet away, its outline barely visible in the dark. I froze, the flashlight trembling in my hand. "Who are you?" I demanded, my voice cracking. "What do you want?" The figure didn't answer. Instead, without a sound, it turned and walked into the field, the stalks parting and swaying in its wake. I reported the sightings to my boss the next day, but he didn't seem concerned. "Probably just a drifter," he said with a shrug. "They pass through here all the time." But I knew it wasn't just a drifter. Whatever I'd seen wasn't normal. I haven't worked at the farm since last fall, but every time I drive past a cornfield, I catch myself looking through the rows, expecting to see that shadow again. If these stories kept you on the edge of your seat, smash that like button and share this video with your friends who love a good scare. Don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell icon so you're the first to catch our next terrifying upload. Have your own night shift horror story? Drop it in the comments. We'd love to feature it. Stay safe out there, and remember, sometimes it's not the dark you should fear, it's what's hiding in it. Thanks for watching, and see you in the next nightmare.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. It's on, the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. Buy two select laundry appliances and get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop all things Maytag, including the new stackable Pet Pro laundry system that removes pet hair from clothes. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid through 5/31. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.